Okay, I think we're back. Okay, so anyway, that's where we're at. So turn in your Bibles this evening, Revelations chapter 6, and we're starting to go into the judgments against the world, against the nations, against evil. But also within this, and I'm going to title this message, is the rise of the Antichrist. Because this is what's happening first, and this is what's really taking place. The Great Tribulation period is from Revelations chapter 6 through Revelations 18 in your Bibles. And within that period of time, we will see the opening of seven seals, the opening of seven trumpets, seven different personnel, and the seven bowls. And that will lead us through the Great Tribulation. So I want to read one verse. We're going to use it now, and we're going to probably see it come up within the next 3 weeks. I'll explain it probably more in the next couple of weeks, but I think it's a great verse to show all this. So Revelation 6, and we're going to be in that chapter, but look at the last verse, verse 17. And Heavenly Father, just thank you for this time, and open up our hearts, our minds, understanding. And we love you, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Give us an understanding of the times that are futuristic. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who is able to stand? So we're going to cover that in content and meeting later on, not today, another day. But think about that, because it's the great day of the wrath of Jesus Christ. The wrath is never for the church. And it's because the wrath of God was put upon Christ for us. He was judged in place of us, so we don't have to go through wrath. If you have accepted Christ and you are born again, then you are part of the body of Christ. And this is the age that we are in now. But where it stands here in Revelation 6, a couple of things have happened. And think of this and remember this, that Christ only can rule, and Christ only will judge, because his judgment is true, and he is able to rule, and he is able to judge. At this time, the church has been raptured. We believe in a pre-tribulation rapture because the wrath of God is to come. It's going to be laid out, and in that wrath, think about this, who would be able to stand? See, the church as believers, we get to stand. We can stand today against the wiles of the enemy. We're able to stand because we have the full armor of God. We can stand in grace. We can stand in the love of God. But during this time, there is no love, there is no grace. That's done. And with that, who is able to stand? Who is able to stand against this proper judgment? And we'll cover this a little bit. You know, people say, well, how can an all-loving God judge the world? But this is what the time of grace is right now. And this judgment is not for believers. It's against evil. Because there's so much evil in the world today. And this is what judgment is upon. So, one thing also is there are many teachers that believe that all these seven seals and seven trumpets and seven bowls or vials, they believe that that is also history already. And they have crammed that into history. They've crammed all these judgments already into history. And then they'll take a belief of what is called amillennialist, which A means in the original Greek means no, no millennium. There's no millennium time because they believe the church age is going to usher in Jesus Christ coming back. But, you know, and there was a study done by a Dr. Warfold. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. And he broke down all these different dispensational systems that are used by the amillennialists, and all these different interpretations of really Revelation 6 through Revelation 18. And they came up with the conclusion that 49 of them are already in error because of the World War IIs. Remember, they believe that man is becoming better. And so there is no need for this judgment because it was already done in different things in history. But we don't see any of that. We see evil all around us in areas, and we don't see man evolving or becoming better at anything. Man's heart is sinful and is wicked, and it's deceitful above all things. Man doesn't even know it. Man has a perception of themselves that is good. But how is man good in front of an almighty, holy, righteous, living God? You know, so, but they believe that. So 49 of them have already been proved false. And to me, that means the one that hasn't probably still will later. You know, if 49 of them are false, I mean. So anyway, Christ rules, and Christ will break the seals that are coming up. Only Christ can break the seals. Remember 2 weeks ago in Revelation 5, John is weeping. And he's weeping as he's writing Revelations, and he's saying, who is able to open the book? And they look for a man, but they can't find anybody to open the book. And he hears about a lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah, who will sit on the throne of David in the millennium. And they hear about him, and he turns and looks, but sees the lamb. And John was familiar with the lamb because the lamb loved him. And John was loved by Jesus Christ. So he knew who that was. And he's seen Christ crucified, and he's seen him rise again. And that he is able to open the book and open the seals. So this is what's going to be taking place now, because his judgment is right and his judgment is true. So quick recap, we have the church being raptured. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 18. The church, so the church is out of the picture. In Revelations 1 from 3, it talks about the church over and over. From chapter 4 on, you don't hear the church mentioned at all. You will hear the temple mentioned some 19 times. There is no temple in the church. The temple deals with Israel. So from here on, it's speaking of Israel. And this is why God is not done with Israel as a nation, with the promises, with the covenants that he made with him. And I even believe that even the new covenant will be even addressed to Israel, where they'll accept again. And many Jews are going to be saved in this period of time. There's going to be two witnesses. There's going to be 144,000 saved that will evangelize the world for Christ's sake. These are going to be Israelites. These are going to be from Israel. Men that and women that God has raised up. And we'll hit that probably maybe in a week or two. So Christ breaks the seal. So the church is removed, number one. Also with the removing of the church, in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, the restrainer is removed. And this, you know, this is, you know, there's many different opinions on who this is because of the Greek wording. But remember, the Holy Spirit is both masculine and neuter, so the Holy Spirit can be all of it. So I believe that this one that restrains and holds evil back is both the Holy Spirit and the church with it, because you know we do see evil now. There's no doubt about it, but boy, is it going to get worse. It's going to get much, much worse. And we're going to see this unfold here. So this one that holds back, the Holy Spirit had a different role when it came in Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And it stays very close to believers that have accepted Christ. It stays very close to the church as far as teaching and guiding and leading. And it's not that the role is over. It's when the church is removed, it does not mean the Holy Spirit is removed, because I've heard that too. And I think it's more of the same way it was in the Old Testament, where the Holy Spirit is still there and still available. It's got to be available to the two witnesses, and it's got to be available for the 144,000. Because they're going to have the Spirit of God within them, and we'll show you that. And they will preach. They're not going to preach of themselves. They're going to preach of the Holy Spirit. And this is how people will get saved. So the Spirit of God will still be here, even though the church has been raptured. So this church now sustains the world. It sustains the world, and again, evil is still present, but it will get a lot back. So evil will get worse. Evil will even intensify. The light of the world is no longer here. It's been taken out. It's going to get dark. It's going to get evil. So while this is all going on in heaven, and Pastor Julian touched this last week, there will be the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, which is for believers. It's the Bema seat, Romans 14:10. I think we're going to do a class on the judgment of the believers, because there's a lot of things in that, and we just don't have time to go into it now. So maybe we'll make a class of that coming up too. All right. So remember, this period of time that evil will intensify will be for 7 years. It's going to be a 7-year period. During this time, the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. Now, remember this, the spirit of Antichrist is already here. 1 John 4:3, 1 John 2 talks about a spirit of Antichrist. The ones that will reject that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, the ones that will reject the finished work, that will reject the grace of God, that will reject the crucifixion, and you're starting to see some of this taking place. It's Antichrist. It's against the Word of God, and it's against the finished work that Jesus came and accomplished that prevents us from working for our salvation. If you're in a church that tells you, that judges you on your behavior, that says you are not a believer or a Christian based on what you do or don't do, I'm telling you, run for the exit quickly. Amen. Because that is not walking in love or walking in the grace of God. You have no relationship. The grace of God is no fellowship. The free woman has no relationship with the bond woman or the slave woman. And that's what you're in when you're under bondage. When you believe, you have to perform to appease Jesus Christ, that you make your salvation about you. You've nullified what Christ did on the cross, because you're saying that's not enough. I've got to do more. It's Christ and Christ alone. Amen. Apart from works, lest any man should boast. Okay? So the introduction, Satan now, the Antichrist, is on the scene. Satan will energize him, so to speak, the same way the Holy Spirit energizes us. In Daniel chapter 7, he's called the little horn. He is called the son of lawlessness. He will be a great worldly leader. I believe he will come out of Rome or the European Union, and he will rule for 7 years. Okay? In this 7-year ruling, people will accept him. They will believe the lie. They'll believe the lie. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. They believe it all. Everything this guy says, they're going to believe it. 2 Thessalonians 2:11, God will cause them to have delusion. And a deluded individual are people who believe what they're told in error. To believe what you're told in error is delusion. The mind accepts it as truth, and it's deception. It's error. And they live in it. They accept it. So what I want to do, hopefully we'll get to a seal, right? It's not a little cute sea creature. Let's break down the 7 years a little bit. And there's probably a lot, you can maybe even add to this. But I just want to come up with different things in a chronological order so it makes sense of what's happening during the period of time. And according to Daniel 9, this is the 70th week of Daniel. It's 1 week, which is 7 years. And that 7 years is divided in two three-and-a-half-year segments. So the first 3.5 years, the first thing that happens, of course, Antichrist comes on the scene. He makes a covenant with Israel. It's a peace agreement. It's a peace treaty. And then in 3.5 years, he'll break that treaty. He'll break it. Okay? Another thing that's taken place that we see and that we know that is happening in the first 3.5 years is sacrifices. Start and stop, really. But they're going to be starting. So if sacrifices are happening, that means the temple has to be here. And if the temple has to be here, there has to be a building of the temple, because it's not here yet. So there'll be a building of the temple, because the Antichrist is going to stop them, stop sacrifices after a while, because now it's time to worship me, basically. So there's going to be the temple, there's going to be sacrifices. Currently, right now, if you go to the area of where the first two temples were, right now, it's a Muslim shrine. So, but God will deal with that. You know, that's nothing to him. So sacrifices, there'll be the desolation that will take place. That will be at the end of it. But that's why sacrifices are going to be removed, because he's going to be the one. Another thing that we see taking place is a counterfeit church. A counterfeit church is going to take place. And that will line up with Mystery Babylon at the end, is what that will come from. But there will be religion. There will be a religion. The Antichrist has a counterfeit for everything, and he'll have a counterfeit religion. And a counterfeit church, and how would you like to be part of that church? You know? But that's what happens. That's where it's at. 144,000 Jews will be, and I love this, will be saved and sent. Boy, it'd be wonderful for us to do that. Save them and send them. Save them and send them. Because that's what's going to happen. There's going to be a little teaching, but the Spirit's going to be teaching them as they're sent, I think. So 144,000 will evangelize, and they're going to be saved and sent. And there's probably like many more. On the other side, the back 3.5 years, will be the first thing that we see will be, and it's called the last 3.5 years because the peace treaty is broken. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 30 verse 7 talks about that. And on top of that, though, with all that being done, God will still save a remnant. A remnant will be saved out of that. And that's pretty incredible, which means people will be saved during the Great Tribulation period. Because God, wishing nobody to perish. But there will still be those that after they see all this will still shake their fist at God. With every opportunity given to come to God and to repent, they would not. And it just proves and shows the hardness of people's heart. Left to ourselves, we can become very hard within our hearts. So the Antichrist then will start destroying things, the temples. Believers here in this time will even depart from the faith. They'll believe for a little bit, but they'll depart. Apostasy, the man of sin, son of perdition, all that's taking place. He will sit upon the temple and desecrate it, and judgment will start. During all of this period of time. Remember, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the beginning, he walks amongst the churches. He walks among the lampstands. But there is no more lampstand. There's no more high priest. There's no more intercession. No more praying for people. Not during this. Just the wrath of God. Judgment. Judgment. Okay? Okay. So, we got the seven seals. And how this is set up, the last seal will always introduce the first one going forward. So, you got the seven seals introducing the seven trumpets. Revelations 8 through 11. You got the seven trumpets. Then we'll deal with the seven people. Revelations 12 and 13, the beast of the sea will come and introduce the seven bowls in Revelations 15 and 16. So let's hit some of these. So Revelations chapter 6, and I want you to follow with me. A lot of scholars want to make symbols out of all this. And I believe it's literal. You've got literal plagues in Egypt, but the plagues in Revelations are not. I just don't get it. 144,000 doesn't mean 144,000. It means something else. So they make everything symbolic. And I think some of these interpretations are very important to understanding everything going forward, and this is why I think I want to go through this. Okay, so we just get a... So Revelations chapter 6. Okay. And in verse 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and there's the Lamb. And who's the Lamb? Jesus Christ. He's only one that can open the seals. Nobody else can open them. By the way, at the end of chapter 5, All that took place in heaven. Now we're down on the earth. That's one thing that you got to understand where we're at. You know, where is it shifting to? And I heard as a noise of thunder of one of the four beasts saying, come and see. A lot of scholars believe that this should not be a come and see as an invitation to John, but more of a go, come and go. But I think it's all right. And then verse 2, he says, and I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And many believe that this is Jesus Christ, but I don't think so. Many scholars, this is the introduction of the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is always a counterfeit. He's going to look very close like Christ. Now, let me take you to this verse. Turn to Revelations 19, because Jesus Christ is going to be coming on a white horse also. But look at the difference. Come and look at the difference. Verse 11, Revelations 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were flame as fire. It's Revelations 2:18. And he had many crowns. This one here had only one crown. This is many crowns. And his name was written, and no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in the vesture dipped in blood. And his name was called the Word of God. Now let's deal with this Antichrist. He comes on a white horse. His whole purpose is to rescue everybody. This false counterfeit wants to rescue people. That's going to be, remember, he's coming with a peace treaty. He's an amazing politician. What does every politician talk about? Peace. They believe if people will believe them that they can achieve, because that's what everybody wants. But remember, this is what the world wants. Worldly peace. And that worldly peace has run out. But he's going to come with that same campaign. He's going to try to usher in this false peace. And he's going to do it on this white horse. He's this prince in shining armor. He's even got one crown on his head to show that he's coming in peace. Coming with everything that he can. But he's a counterfeit. He's going to have a bow. An army will come with him. He's going to have a bow, but he's not going to use it because he's coming in peace right now. He's not coming with an army. He's not coming with that. There's no force at all. And he's going to rescue people from economic problems, world economic problems. He's going to be a world leader. It's going to be a world system, not a country. A world system. He's going to come so. He's going to deal with economic problems. He's going to deal with political problems. He's going to say he wants to be a one world leader. And people are going to believe the lie. And they're going to accept it. He's going to push for religion. People love religion. It's Christ they don't like. They want religion. They want religion. So he's going to be a religious leader. It's going to be a one world economic system, a one world currency, a one world government, a one world religion. And he's going to be the man. Not in violence, but through personal charisma. He's going to be very charismatic. He's going to be very good to look at. People are going to flock to him, fall upon him. And this is what they want. You know, in the world today, we're seeing a lot of this talk being done. You know, dictatorship. And the reason behind it is because people are restless. We're very uneasy in the streets. There's no union. There's no, division is starting. And media can bring across this very quickly. You know, cause division with people. And people don't even know. But they see it on the news, so they'll believe it. They believe the lie. And they'll flock to it. And we have this uneasiness, this civil unrest. And because of that, you can see how this can easily just swoop right in and start controlling. But he's going to be very good. You know, he's going to be the greatest politician that has ever talked. His words are going to be smooth words. And people are just going to be drawn to it without even knowing. So this beast, this white horse, is a counterfeit. Is a counterfeit. Okay, let's, what time we got? Okay, let me just do a couple more of these. And these are just going to go quick. Once I start getting into the seals, I'm just going to, maybe a sentence or two on them. I'm not going to sit and explain because I don't want this to be a line by line thing. You can study and learn for yourself. We're just going to give you some, you know, outside things here. Okay, the second seal, verse 3. Same introduction in verse 4. It says, and there went out another horse. This one was red, and the power was given him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. Horse number 2, a red horse, and this is the war horse. So peace does not last too long, does it? By this so-called one that's going to have peace rule all the time, because they're already now into war. The second seal is open, and they go forth, the horsemen, and war is started. So peace is short-lived. They're going to kill one another. This is will be the war of wars right here. And whatever way they do it, it's just the great sword just means that's how they're just going to overcome. And so war is seal number 2. Seal number 3 is opened, a third seal. And I heard the third beast come and see. And a black horse, in verse 5, sat upon him. He had a pair of balances in his hand and a pair of... And I heard a voice in the midst say, a measure of wheat for a penny, 3 measures of barley for a penny. See that thou do not hurt the oil and the wine. Pretty interesting statement. After war, there's usually a shortage. And this speaks of a famine. A famine now in the land. Things are going to be hard to buy and sell. There's going to be a time that nobody's even going to be able to do it unless you take the mark of the beast. So this is a famine after the shortage of the war. And how about that? Don't hurt the oil and the wine. You know, and it's like even in World War II and the Great Depression and things like that, many suffered. But... But the rich always had. And this is like, don't touch them. And it's a weird little statement that's put in here. You know, because they're drinking their wine and they're, you know, and they've got, and they control the oil, you know. But they'll be dealt with. It's like, don't hurt that part of it. It seems like they always survive, even when people are suffering in the worst conditions, if you think about it. But this is a pretty great famine. The fourth seal is the pale horse, the fourth and final horse, is a pale horse. And look at this one in verse 8. And his name that sat on it was Death, and Hell followed him. And the power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth. So now a fourth part of the earth is wiped out in the opening of this seal. A fourth part of the earth. And it's going to happen through more war. It's going to happen through hunger. It's going to happen through pestilences, diseases that come upon man, in famine, and even wild beasts will kill people. Everything's going to be turned on the fourth part of the earth. You imagine John sitting and having to write this. And some of this is so sad. It really is. And we're just starting with it. I believe most of this is written that would give you a sense for the lost that reject Jesus Christ. I think this is the purpose. This isn't something that we have to fear because you have Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus Christ, you're saved. This isn't judgment upon the saved. This is judgment upon evil. Evil and wicked men for all time. So this is judgment on the world. So hopefully it stirs us up. Because we have the message that will deliver and save people from this very point. And this is why we evangelize. Two more. Fifth seal opened. And now it goes back to heaven, by the way. He says, and I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. John, I think I said Paul before. John sees souls in heaven. They were slain for bringing the word of God. These are martyred saints, martyred for their faith. Couldn't even be even the multitude, even of those that will be witness very shortly. Maybe you could see that. Slain for the word of God, slain because they kept true to the faith that was deposited within them, because they have a testimony. Their testimony was the word of God. And they cried with a long voice, just saying, how long? How much longer do we have to, that our blood would not be avenged? They died for the faith. They died for believing in Christ. And this goes throughout the whole ages. Through the whole ages, and nobody has been judged for it yet. And white robes were given to every one of them. And he says, rest for a little while, until your fellow servants and also the brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. That will speak of the 144,000, the witnesses. That will be those that are killed even in this period of time. Because they're going to have to go through it too. And you know, really what this is we don't know the time. We don't know the time when this is going to be taking place. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11 real quick. Hold your spot there. Just go quick. Two more verses and we're... Luke 11. And look at verse 50. even 49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zacharias, which perishes between the altars of the temple. Verily I say to you, it shall be required of this generation. Martyred for the faith. Martyred for the faith. The sixth seal, and we're done. We'll leave the seventh for later. It says, and behold, he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair. The moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell upon the earth. Even the fig tree cast in her unleaved figs when she was shaken with the mighty winds. Naaman 1:5 talks about heaven departing here, and mountains being moved out of their place. So this is natural disasters now upon the earth. So this is the beginning, like of the last half. This is the beginning of Joel in Joel 2:30, and the end of it is in Joel 3:19. Through 20, or 9 through 17, so you got a beginning and an end to that. Read Joel as some of the fulfillments of these properties. Natural disasters, earthquakes, hurricanes, I mean, all erupting at once. So we'll stop that there, and we'll pick up. Again, the same thing that we started off with. For the great day of the wrath has come, and who should stand? Who will be able to stand against this? And so we'll talk about the 12,000, their journey next week. And we'll get into this verse. We'll break down this verse. And then we hit the seventh seal, which, by the way, doesn't take place to chapter 8. So there's and I think there's a reason for that. Why this long delay? There's a reason for that. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the class tonight. We thank you for opening up our minds, our hearts, into the revelation of Jesus Christ, not to be afraid of it, but to embrace it. And we serve the Almighty God, the only one able to open up all the seals. We love you. We thank you this evening. Let us have a great rest of the week.